Once more, dear brethren, we welcome you for, and we're thankful for you to be here today. The exercise of the brethren locally is to take up David. But there is nothing about David himself. So if you will, let me set the exercise very clearly. We are not going to tell about David as a godly man. Although a subject like this might be very encouraging, but it could be for another conference or another study. The saints have in mind is to draw certain features that were seen in David and apply them to the Lord Jesus himself. Because there is no greater subject that will warm our hearts and touch somehow our heart's affections than the subject of the Lord himself. One would think if I want to consider the most perfect type in the Old Testament of things, we all agree it might be the Ark as a type of the Lord Jesus. If you want to take up somebody as a man that was the closest type to Christ, might be Joseph. If it wasn't almost for the lack of understanding how Jacob were blessing his sons, he would be a complete type of Christ as a man. But when you want to consider the most individual that have uttered and expressed the holy inward feelings of Christ, and an individual where people looked upon him and gave him certain features that reflect Christ, I certainly would say we all have to agree it's David. So we're not going to talk about David's failures, although we all have to have this understanding that types will always come short. But nevertheless, we want to take up these types that were seen in David, but that speak to you and to me of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. So the first reading, Lord willing, we're going to take features of his life. And I think when we read these verses and we move forward with the exercise, we will all help one another, especially brethren who will participate. Please let's be precise toward the subject. If the Spirit of God is going to bring an example to bring it in harmony with it, feel free to do so, but it has to be in the line of the exercise. The first thing that I would like to open it up is that God brings the finality of his thought. He's thinking of the beloved, David. For all of us, and especially for the young one, his name means beloved. And how wonderful, just by his very name, we could think back that this is my beloved son. And for the saints of God, that could be in harmony with the mind of the bride in the Song of Songs, he is my beloved. But the first verse that we have read as far as the exercise, in verse 1, it's really the last part of it. I have provided me a king. So maybe we can open it up, dear brethren, that in his life here on earth, there were this feature of his kingship that were uttered by others. But when you think of that word, I have provided myself, nevertheless, my mind personally, would go to Genesis 22, I have provided myself a lamb. And God, in the same measure, he has provided himself a king. And that's why we would never know that David was the author of the second song if New Testament doesn't tell us so. Because there's no title for it, the second song. But when we go to the New Testament, we understand that the author that the Spirit of God has used was David. And there is a verse that is absolutely similar to that verse we see in chapter 16, where God said, listen, I have set up my king upon my holy hill Zion. Even God from the beginning have set his king, and there is nothing that will take place in this world that's going to alter God's provision of a king that is according to his blessed heart. So maybe, dear brethren, we can start with the first feature. Somehow we can speak a little bit of the kingship of the Lord Jesus that has been displayed or that has been uttered by others here on earth in this scene. And maybe I will start with this, and hopefully the brethren will give us some gain. The first question was asked, where is he that is born king? The Lord did not go through the cross yet. He did not go through the path of suffering. But by some, there was the acknowledgement that this is the king. They were in tune with God's thoughts. And the question was, where is he that is born king? And maybe from there, dear brethren, let's open it up. Give us the liberty to move the exercise, please. And if I can say something in spirit of love, we all have this thing that's called mobile and cell. And I'm going to ask the brethren, some of us are on call. But just make sure that if you are on call, it's on vibration. And if you don't, you're not on call, please turn it off. Let's be mindful afresh that we are in the presence of the King of Kings. And let's give him the respect that is due to him. So I understand some of us are on call. Just put it on vibration. Make sure that it is off for others. And may the Lord give us help and wisdom and guidance as we will move with the exercise to bring features of the life of the Lord Jesus seen in day.
Since you've mentioned Matthew's Gospel, John, we often notice that the Lord is referred to in the first chapter in verse 1 as the Son of David, but twice more in that opening chapter he's referred to as David the King, David the King.
Yes, I was thinking that he is the root and the offspring of David.
I was just wondering, Brother John, that in regard to leading on that line of bringing into view Christ in David, if in truth and in fact we will not have to take into consideration the setting aside of everyone else. Saul was set aside, rejected, in order for David to come into view. If Christ is to be seen, it's a matter of everything related to the first order of man to be set aside, so that God introduces that which is supremely representative of himself.